In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What Jesus says isn't all that hard. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Yet mercy and forgiveness don't interest you all that much. Or to be sure, you want it shown to you, but to others? Well, that's easier said than done. Yeah, you want them to forget your faults and show you love and forgiveness, but all you can offer them is, I can forgive, but I can't forget. That's a grudge, not forgiveness. And it certainly isn't mercy. Think of how good you are at pointing out and confessing the sins of others. Have you not ever realized that the very things you hate in them, you've also done? Have you not lusted, cheated, or lied, or gossiped and murdered your brother with your words? Blinded by the log of sin in your eye, you cannot or will not see your sin. You like to deal in what's right, what's deserved, what's even, not love or mercy. Strain at your brother's speck, gladly condemning him to hell all you want, but don't you dare ignore that plank in your own eye. Where will your love and mercy be then? Blind hypocrite. You judge those who offend and wrong you, yet think nothing of wronging and offending them. You act rashly and assume the worst of your brother, calling the wrath of heaven down upon him. You're no better than him, yet, like Satan, would presume to sit in place of Christ Jesus, speaking judgment and damnation when you are just as guilty. This is what Jesus warns against. To refuse to forgive is to step outside of faith. It's to disbelieve that Jesus suffered full vengeance for sins. To deny mercy is to deny and reject who God is. Who are you to call down God's damnation upon one for whom Christ died? Know this. Whatever measure you use, God will fill it up and pour it back into your lap. If you judge and condemn, you will be judged and condemned. It will all be measured back to you. And if the Father in heaven judges you by your standards, you will long for the prison house, but find only death and hell. Repent. There's no room to justify yourself. Jesus will hear no excuses. His words, burning with divine holiness, drive you to despair of any hope in yourself. There is none. Jesus drives you to repentance. He drives you to turn away from your excuses, from trying to justify yourself, and to turn toward God. Confess that you've not kept the standard of His law, that you do not and cannot live up to it. Acknowledge that what God says in His law is true. Admit this, and you will know the joy of repentance, the joy that comes from coming clean and from refusing to justify yourself and make excuses. Everyone here is a hypocrite, for those are the only people allowed in the church. The difference between out there and in here is that in here, you are not allowed to pretend that you aren't. Repent. Confess your sins. And know joy. For the good news is that you don't need to make excuses or try to justify yourself. The good news is that Jesus justifies you freely by grace, that Jesus is the only excuse you need. Though he didn't judge, Jesus was judged to be the sin of the world and was killed. He refused to condemn, yet was condemned as the innocent victim, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He forgave, and yet received the weight of the world's sin, finding no reprieve, no comfort, no lifting of the weight. And this is the good news, the gospel, which is for you, that you may see and live. To blind hypocrites, Jesus reaches out his hand to remove the log from your eye and carry it to Golgotha. And on that log which blinds and kills, Jesus is killed. He's nailed upon the crucifix built of your sin and pours out his blood. He washes you clean, forgiving your sins. Jesus shows you love and mercy, for he is incarnate love and mercy of the Father. You don't deserve it. And yet the Father gives Jesus into death for your sins. The Father so greatly desires to forgive you that he gives his only begotten Son over to suffering and death for your sake. Jesus comes to suffer condemnation and judgment. He bears your sin, takes away your infirmities, takes away the log from your eye, restoring your sight. This is why God takes on flesh. And in him, you are justified and excused. You're washed immaculately clean in Jesus' divine blood and joined to him. No wrath remains for you. Jesus swallowed it all. Death is powerless. Whom shall you fear? No one. For Jesus lives. Log removed from your eye in holy absolution. You now love and care for your brother. And there is no greater love and mercy than that which is like unto the Father's for you. That is to say, with the log removed from your eye, you can now correct and admonish your brother from the Scriptures. You can warn him from his sins. You can pray for him, invite him to church, and rejoice in the good things of God together. This is only possible because you are a new creation in Christ, because Jesus covers you in his blood, removing the log from your eye and laying his life down upon it. And contrary to popular opinion, this does mean that you are called on to judge doctrines, confessions, and even behaviors in light of God's standard given in the Holy Scriptures and in the Ten Commandments. By saying judge not, Jesus doesn't mean let everyone do what's right in his own eyes, but rather to repent of being a hypocrite. Don't call down the wrath and damnation of God on a bully if you yourself hate and slander your brother. First repent of your sin, then correct and reprove your brother. And notice also that Jesus doesn't say, if you are merciful, then the Father will be merciful. He says, rather, your Father is merciful. He is. He is merciful whether you are or not. His mercy is utterly and totally unencumbered. He simply loves you. There's no baggage, no grudge, no fear in God that will reject him again or take advantage of him, even though he knows full well that we might. We might, and we more than likely do. but it does not stop him or make him quit. His mercy endures forever. He loves all creation. He loves all that which he made good and which he has redeemed in the death of the Son. But he loves humanity before and above all else, despite the fact that it's humanity that deserves punishment for causing such chaos and suffering upon the original goodness of creation. The animals, plants, and the very planets themselves suffer because of your sin. Yet God's mercy for you endures. Your Father is merciful. He takes up your flesh. He restores creation in his death to save you. He pays the price of your folly and selfishness and ushers in a new age in his resurrection, promising a new heaven and a new earth, the end of death's sting and hell's claim. Even as he forgives the sins that poisoned and destroyed this old earth. And there is no partiality or double standard in his love. All of humanity is reconciled to the Father in the Son, declared righteous. Thus you live by faith and not sight. The Holy Spirit leads you by the ear, calling you by the gospel. You are fed and nourished by the hand of the Good Shepherd, who gives what he says he does, who gives exactly what you need. Close your eyes and open your mouth, for God himself comes in flesh. You can't see him, but you do hear and taste Jesus. In this, you now know what Jesus means when he says, "No disciple is above the teacher. Rather, all are being perfected as your teacher." You who are nothing are being formed in and through the means of grace to the cruciform image of Jesus. Love and mercy for the brotherhood, for the neighbor, now flows out of you from him. For it is not you who do these things, but Christ who dwells in you, in his body and blood, by the washing of his blood and the anointing of his name, who does these things in you. Do not fear. Jesus removes your log and speck by taking them into himself to declare you righteous. You will not be judged. You will not be condemned. You will be forgiven and receive the good measure of Jesus' body and blood. Mercy poured out, lavished, shaken together, overflowing, and the cup of his blood given you to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Yours is a righteousness that cannot be exceeded, for it's the righteousness of Jesus given you in the Holy Sacrament. Jesus will provide, and you shall live. Jesus is the only excuse you need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.